Well, this morning we're glad to have all the way from Columbus, Georgia, my cousin, Brother Mark Brown, came in for the wedding. We had a wonderful wedding yesterday, and it was beautiful weather, so we thank God for that. Had great food yesterday. We thank God for that too, amen? And so this morning, Brother Mark Brown's going to come preach to us. He's Pastor Maranatha Baptist Church in Columbus, Georgia.
All right, well, it is good to be in the Lord's house, amen? You're glad to be here, say amen. 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 What a joy it is. What a privilege it is. We don't have to come to church. We get to come to church. Amen. What a blessing that is. I had the opportunity to teach Sunday school class this morning. Had a good time with that. And I just made a comment there that we know this church well. Amen. And again, Brother Michael and Miss Donya have known them pretty much all their life. Went to Bible college there at Norris with Brother Crawford, and we actually rode back and forth to school together some days, amen, when we could make him go to school. Amen. Amen. Just kidding. We've been good friends all these years, and always count this church as one of those churches that just is a special church, and we're so thankful to be here today. Great wedding yesterday, amen. I tell you what, in the world in which we live, there's a lot of junk out there. Amen. We'll just leave it at that. And I'm thankful when people do things the right way. And what a blessing that was to be able to witness. All right, let's jump into the Word of God this morning. Gospel of John, chapter number 6. John, chapter number 6. If you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast because my body's on the Eastern time zone and I'm hungry. Amen. It's 12:25 to my body. Amen. So we'll give you a few things. Nothing new this morning. It's going to be a very familiar passage of Scripture. Just some reminders that I hope will be an encouragement and a blessing to us. It's the Gospel of John. That gospel that especially reveals the glory of God. It begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And it goes on to say, "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I'm thankful that He's full of grace and truth, by the way. A lot of miracles that we find recorded in the Gospel of John that demonstrate, that manifest who He is, His glory. And our text narrates one of probably the most familiar. It's recorded in each of the Gospels. It's the account of the feeding of the multitude. And I know we've heard it preached and taught over and over and over again. But you know what? We like to watch Andy Griffith reruns, so let's look at it over again, amen, this morning, and maybe just see if we can glean some things that'll help us right where we are this morning. Let's look at the account, if we can, today, beginning in verse number 1. "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. And Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Many messages have been preached on this account. Many Sunday school lessons, many personal devotions have we gleaned from this well-known passage of Scripture. And I want to use this account kind of as the setting for a particular thought this morning. And that thought is found in verse number 6. And I want you to notice the last phrase in verse number 6. For he himself knew what he would do. I'm thankful this morning that there are a lot of things that I don't know. There are a lot of things that may be going on in my life and in your life, and we don't fully understand exactly what God is doing and why He's doing it. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm happy to report that though we may not know exactly what God is doing, the Lord Himself knows exactly what He is doing and what He is going to do. Nothing is going to take God by surprise. Not in our nation, not in our life, not in our churches. I like that phrase, for he himself knew what he would do. We find Philip in verse number 7 has a great deal of anxiety. He says 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. He's a little bit concerned. I believe the Lord probably asked Philip about this because he was actually from that region. And so Philip has a little bit of anxiety. And sometimes we do too. We can put on our spiritual clothes and our spiritual look and our spiritual phrases that we might use. But sometimes circumstances get to where we just really don't know what to do. But God knows. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and I want to just simply preach on that thought. He himself knew what he would do. He knew what he would do. Let's pray together. Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for the opportunity to look into the Word of God this morning. And Lord, certainly what a blessing it has been already to be in your house, to sing praises to your name, and Lord, to be able to worship you this morning. Lord, certainly you are deserving of our praise and our worship, but you also desire it. And so, Lord, I thank you that we've had that opportunity this morning. And now as we look into the Word of God, I pray that as the table has been set by the music and by the sweet Spirit, that, Lord, your Word would go forth, Lord, convicting but comforting at the same time. I pray your word would go forth this morning and find good lodging in our hearts. Lord, that we might receive your word upon good ground today. Lord, I certainly need you to preach the message that you've impressed upon my heart this morning. So I pray you would give me clarity of thought this morning to say those things that you would have said. And Lord, maybe those things that you'd not have said that you would just take from my thoughts. Lord, that again, you would meet the need of this hour. Lord, we don't know. Perhaps there may be some here today that needs to be saved. There may be some that may just simply need to be challenged or comforted, strengthened, encouraged. Some just need to be reminded of how much you love us. So I pray whatever the need of this hour is, that you would begin working in our midst. Lord, help us to respond as you'd have us respond. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was reading this, and again, we've heard several messages preached several times from this account, but as I was reading this one day, that phrase just kind of jumped off the page to me. He himself knew what he would do. And I began to think about the fact that in this account, there are many different people, there are many different players that are involved. This is one of those powerful miracles that is recorded in the Word of God that especially again reveal who He is and His glory. And I began to think about those people that were there that day. Wouldn't you like to have been there that day? Think about this. Think about one of these days. It may be 2,000 years from now. We might, in glory one day, after we've had an opportunity to see our Lord and Savior face to face, we've had an opportunity maybe to be reunited with some loved ones that are there, and maybe some that we had some small part in their salvation. Maybe we'll get to have... By the way, heaven is real. Sometimes we get so spiritual minded, we think we're just going to be sitting up there on a cloud. Heaven is just as real as what we're doing right here. And I just imagine it. I thought, boy, I'd sure like to have been there that day. I may not be able to have been there, but guess what? I'm going to be able to sit down with some of those folks that were there and maybe ask them their perspective on it. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? There's several people here that were there that day, and I believe the Lord had a plan and a purpose for every one of them. You see, sometimes we get blinders on and we think it's all about us. Sometimes we think that the things that are going on in our lives and around our lives are just about us. But we've got a great big God. And we've got a Savior this morning that is not simply, I'm thankful that He's doing a work in my life, but while He's doing a work in my life, He's doing a work in your life as well. And we're all in the same place, physically speaking, geographically speaking this morning, but we may not be in the same place spiritually or emotionally or physically. God's big enough to work in all of our lives in one fell swoop. And I began to think about what He began to do on this day that we're still preaching about. What seems like an impossible situation for everybody that was there that day, before it ever began, He knew what He would do. Let me say this. This is not necessarily part of the outline, but I'm so thankful when man fell into sin. Death passed upon all men. God didn't scratch His head and wonder what He was going to do now. There's a lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. And when man fell into sin, He already knew what He was going to do. And I'm so thankful that God put on flesh and dwelt among us. He came all the way to Calvary. He came to this earth. He set His face like a flint to go to the cross of Calvary. And there He shed His precious blood because He knew you was going to need a Savior and I was going to need a Savior. Oh, when man fell into sin, it seemed like an impossible situation. But He Himself knew what He would do. And I'm so thankful that He did. But on this particular occasion that we find in our text, I find three groups of people, if you will. We could probably get a greater subset than that if we were to break it all down. But the first group that I find in this passage of Scripture is the multitude. The first group that I find in this passage of Scripture is those people for whom He provided. You see, they were there, and we can look at all of the different things that are going on, but when it's all said and done, they were getting hungry. Like the multitude is today. Getting hungry. If she said it once, she said it five times, just in the first part of the service, Miss Donya, I'm hungry. Y'all want me to translate that? Preach quick, preach quick, preach quick.
I'm hungry.
There's a group of people there that day that were hungry. Matthew's account tells us that it was a desert place. Matthew's account tells us it was getting late in the day. Philip gets a little concerned and he comes to the Lord and begins to talk to him about the fact that these people are hungry and Philip knew the region and so they have a real need. And we can make light of it, but there was a physical need there. You know, the cares and concerns that we have in life are real situations. They are real needs. Sometimes in the midst of those needs, we are helpless. Some things we just simply can't fix. We like to try to fix things. We like to try to take care of situations ourselves, but you know, some things are just very simply beyond us. Now, here's a group of people, a multitude of people, and they've come out to maybe see the Lord perform another miracle, but before He did, He preached a message to them. Amen. The day's getting long, and the geography of the whole thing, it's going to be a hard time for them to get anything to eat. You say, that's kind of a trivial problem. They're hungry. You know what? God's concerned about even the things that may seem trivial sometimes. He's concerned about the small things in our life. You see, they didn't know what to do. But He already knew exactly what He was going to do. You say, what's the point? The point is very simply this. Sometimes things come into our life. And we can't fix them. Some things come into our life and we don't know exactly what we're going to do. Sometimes the phone rings and it's bad news. But He already knows about it. The very simple point this morning is this. For the multitude that was there that had physical needs, physical concerns, He provided. And I'm so glad this morning that He provides my every need. By the way, most of our wants, if we'd be honest. You see, there was a multitude there that day. They didn't realize it when they got up that morning. But before sunset, they would have a need that they could not provide, a circumstance that they could not fix. But the Lord already knew what He was going to do. I see a second group of people. The first group of people is the multitude, and He provided for them. And boy, He's provided for me. And He didn't only know what He was going to do with the physical need, but the next group of people is His disciples. I want you to think about them this morning. When we think of this account, we think of the multitude and they're hungry and they get filled. But there's the disciples. Now remember, this is early in Jesus' ministry. Fairly early. They've left all and followed Him and they'd seen Him do some things. They have been with Him for a time. They've seen some miracles, they've heard some things, but they still had limited faith. As a matter of fact, in verse number 7, you there see that Philip has somewhat of a limited faith, a limited vision. He said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. Well, he didn't take into account who he was talking to. By the way, neither do we sometimes. So I believe Jesus performed this miracle to, again, do more than simply on the surface meet the surface need, which was a multitude that was hungry. But what he did that day was something deeper than that. There were some disciples that he was training, that he was teaching, that he was shaping, that he was making, that he was molding. He had a plan and a purpose for them down the road. By the way, every circumstance that comes into our life, God is shaping us and He's making us and He's molding us. Sometimes the things that come into our life are His chastening hand, because we need to learn a lesson that way. Sometimes He's developing us, strengthening our faith. So here's a group of disciples and somewhat limited faith. He begins to teach them. And I like what he does here, and I don't want you to miss this. Look at verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten. You know, Jesus could have fed that multitude in a number of ways that day. But he chose to use a group of men that he was training, that he was molding. And he used them, don't miss this, if you're going to go to sleep, get this before you do. Too late for some, amen. He used them by involving them. He could have fed the multitude in a number of ways. But you know what the Bible tells us? It tells us that he took the loaves and he took the fish. He blessed them, he broke them, and guess what? He distributed to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Now there's a lot of people here. There's a group of people in there, and they're hungry. You ever been in a multitude of hungry Baptists? Everybody wants to be first in line. The Bible says that he made the multitude sit down. And then he gave the bread and the meat to the disciples. And then they, in an orderly fashion, our God does things in order, began to distribute it. I began to think about that one day. I don't think the disciples could take enough food in one trip to feed the multitude. I almost picture that this way, as Jesus is here and the multitude is there, and here comes Peter and here comes Andrew and here comes Thomas, and they pass out to their group over here, and when he's done, he comes back to Jesus, gets some more. They're going back and forth. They're going back and forth. When I was a kid, my grandmother lived right next door to my aunt, out in the country on a farm, Jay, Florida. Farmland. Red brick houses, side by side. And when we would go to Big Mama Brown's house, we would go from her house to Aunt Rose's house next door. And they always would walk back and forth to each other's house, going in the back door. And there was a beaten path between Big Mama Brown's house and Aunt Rose's house. Grassy area, but me and my brothers would always go, and we would run down that path back and forth, racing each other and those kind of things. It was a grassy area, but the grass was kind of worn and beaten down on just a little strip between those two houses. And I began to think about how these disciples, as they began to pass out the food and come back to Jesus, and pass out the food and come back to Jesus, pass out the food and come back to Jesus. I just almost began to picture in that grassy area, they probably began to develop some well-worn paths. You know what I began to think about? Boy, we need some well-worn paths that lead to Jesus in our life. And as they were walking up and down and back and forth along that path, they probably were learning some things. They probably started thinking at first, what is he doing? But when they come back and got more and they began to see people getting filled and God continuing to provide over and over and over again, they probably, just humanly speaking, probably thought, man, this is crazy. This is great. What was happening? He was teaching them. Did they fully grasp the lesson? We find out later, no, they didn't. And neither do we initially, usually. That's why He has to continue to put us in situations and circumstances to reveal Himself to us afresh and anew. But He began to use them. He began to put them into service. You know what I've found? The more I pray, the more I see Him answer. Think about this. If we're not praying, we're not going to see answer to prayer. This is rock. I'm a real deep preacher, so it's hard to grasp this, but we're not going to see answer to prayer if we're not praying. How does He teach us that He answers prayer? By asking us to pray. How does He teach us to that He will provide? By getting us to give. You see, we'll witness new births when we tell people about Jesus. You see, it's in His service that we begin to see Him work. The disciples could have sat back and watched angels pass out the food, or Jesus could have went boom in everybody's field, but He chose to teach them by using them. You see, the circumstances that we find ourselves in from time to time, it's not always just simply about us, but it might be about what He's doing in many lives. We'll sense His presence when we learn to worship. We'll know His guidance when we follow Him. You see, the point is this. The disciples didn't know exactly what was going on and what He was going to do, but He knew. I say one more this morning. Not only do we see that He provides and that He proves, but thirdly, I see a little lad. I see a little fella who came to hear Jesus preach and watch Him perform miracles, and he brought his lunch with him. And they began to survey the crowd and they looked for what maybe few resources might be available. And verse 9 says, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" We know the story. This little lad, no doubt, was asked if he would be willing to give what he had to the Lord. And he did. And the Lord took what little bit that little fella had. He blessed it, he broke it, he distributed it to the disciples to the multitude. And there were fragments that remain. We could preach on that for a little while. But have you ever thought about that little boy's perspective? Son, would you be willing to give your lunch? Well, I'm getting a little bit hungry. But he willingly gave. God used it in a mighty and a miraculous way. Now, I know we know the story, and we've heard it preached, and we've heard it taught. But have you ever thought about what that little fellow's life might have been like after that day? You see, I believe as his life continued on, that there would be other circumstances that he would find himself in that would require putting Jesus first. I believe that little fellow that day learned to have the right priorities and he got a new perspective. You see, I believe the Lord does things in our life to help us set our priorities. Sometimes he puts us in situations where he asks us to put him first. You know, I find that when we do, we begin to get a whole new perspective. You see, when this group of people all found themselves, probably in a surprising sense, they found themselves all in a similar circumstance. They all found themselves in a situation where there was a need. And folks, there are needs all in this building this morning. There are people this morning here with physical needs. I have no doubt in my mind this morning there are people here who are battling cancer. There are people here this morning, no doubt, who have loved ones that are gravely ill. On our way out here, we received a call. It was expected, but we received final confirmation that my wife's uncle had passed away. So we're going to have to leave out a little bit early in order to make it to that funeral. You see, there's needs. I have no doubt this morning there are many here today who have financial needs. There's more bill than there is month. Money. Boy, I tell you, it's tough. No doubt this morning there's spiritual needs here. There's relationship needs. There's emotional needs. There's needs. The multitude that gathered that day, there were people who had the need of hunger. There were some disciples who had the need to have increased faith. There was a little fellow there that day that needed to see when you put God first, He'll take what little you have and He'll multiply it. By the way, that need was never met until there was a breaking. Sometimes He has to break us before He broadens us. And the multitude didn't know what was going on and what He was going to do. And the disciples didn't know what He was going to do. And the little fellow with a lunch, scratching his head, trying to figure out. But in the midst of that circumstance, with a multitude of needs, Jesus never blinked. He never quaked. He already knew what He was going to do. And when you go out to the mailbox and you check the mail, and an unexpected bill comes in, and you think, what am I going to do? He already knows what He's going to do. When the phone rings and you get bad news and you think, what are we going to do? He already knows what He's going to do. When they tell you that the company you're working for is closing its doors and you wonder what in the world we're going to do now to make a living, He already knows what He's going to do. For He Himself knew what He would do. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, His eyes are closed. Lord, we love You and we thank You so much this morning for Your Word and the strength and the encouragement that we can find in Your precious Word. Lord, my prayer is very simply this. Have Your way. When man fell into sin, You already knew what You would do to provide a Savior. And Lord, in the circumstances of life, when we don't know how, when we don't know why, when we don't know where, and we don't know when, You already know. So Lord, my prayer is, teach us Your ways and help us to trust. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.